Hi, welcome to the Fourth Age, a Wheel of Time podcast brought to you by Dragonmount.com.
This is Jason.
And this is Carrie.
Welcome to episode 2, recorded April 13th. This podcast is dedicated to the epic fantasy series, The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan.
There are a total of 11 books in the series, and 12 is currently being written.
Thanks for listening to week 2 of the Wheel of Time podcast. My name's Jason and I'm here with Carrie. I want to clarify one thing that I mistakenly forgot to clarify in the first podcast. I'm Jason. I'm doing the podcast now. Jason, the other Jason who actually does our webpage, we're not the same person. So we are two different Jasons. It must be a really popular name. So
yes, and anybody that might be interested in advertising on our podcast can... for Dragonmount.com. There's a potential to reach several hundred listeners within a month, possibly thousands within the coming year. So if you're interested, just email podcast@dragonmount.com and we'll get back to you.
Okay, and for our first news item of the day, we're going to talk a little bit about Robert Jordan's treatment and how to donate to amyloidosis.
Yes, there is a new statement that's up from Robert Jordan, which is about his treatment, just a little bit. It's very brief, but if you want to go to dragonmount.com, it's under news, and it'll give you just a little bit more information on his statement.
And there's also more information also about how to actually donate to amyloidosis, which there's a webpage. It's www.mayoclinic.org/development/give.html. There's also a place where you can send a real check to. There is an address, Department of Development, Mayo Foundation, 200 First Street Southwest, Rochester, Minnesota, 55905. Thanks to everyone who contributes. Remember, just like our Dragon Mount says, you'll not only be assisting with Robert Jordan's treatment, but for everyone else that has amyloidosis. There's not much news this week except for that, which is big news. So you can go to dragonmount.com and get all the information on that. I do want to say that the next part of the podcast is going to be some spoilers. So anyone that might be reading book 2 and hasn't gone past, you know, the first few books, we're going to talk about some events that happen. So if you don't want to be spoiled, you can stop now. If you don't really mind that much, you can continue to listen. The first thing that we're going to do is the Jason's email or forum discussion of the week. And the one that we chose for this week is on the dragonmount.com forums. The person's name is, I believe it's pronounced Freox. The forum post is called Confrontations. Right in the first post is the one that I want to talk about. Ran versus Tuon. That's really interesting. It's going to be on the seventh book. It's going to be interesting to see if Ran really does kneel to the daughter of the Nine Moons. What do you think, Carrie?
I don't know. I always thought that when Tuon had mentioned that somehow she was mistaken and that the meaning was twisted, and like a lot of the things that people think are prophecy and things, that it's going to mean something else entirely, but I don't really know what. I don't know.
Well, I'll disagree with that because I think that... I definitely
think he's going to kneel.
Yeah, I do. I do. I definitely think he's going to kneel. And the only reason why I think he's going to is because he has to. I think he's going to understand that in order for him to win, he's going to need the Shan Chan on his side. So he's really going to have to, especially with Matt being Tuon's husband now. That's actually kind of funny.
Well, I think it would definitely be interesting to read about. I think that... it would be good for Rand to do a little bit of kneeling instead of having everyone do it to him. But, yeah, it's definitely something I look forward to. However it turns out, I'm sure it'll be interesting when they meet.
No, it's definitely going to be interesting, especially with with Tuon's little attitude. And, you know, Rand, of course, now, I mean, he has a big head. Not too much. I think anyone in his position would, too. You know, there was another forum post, too, that was talking about... the similarities between Rand and other characters, which I was looking at. I don't recall right off hand who posted it, but a comparison was between Rand and the book Dune and Paul Atreides. Did you ever read that, Carrie?
You know, I haven't. I did start it So it was probably, 12 years ago or something.
Oh, yeah? Oh, wow.
I don't know. It was a long time, but I never got into it, so.
There's a lot of similarities between Rand and Paul Atreides, and I think there's a lot of differences, too, though, so. But, yeah, I definitely think that Rand recognizes things that he needs to do. And I think that's definitely something he's going to do, is nail the two on. I mean, obviously. I think he has to. You know, in order to win the last battle, they have to have everyone together. So I think there'll be a lot of, you know, interesting confrontations, as the post says. A couple other interesting ones where, let's see, Egwene versus Kedswani. Obviously, that's the first one. That's going to be quite the interesting confrontation. Although that one I don't think is ever really going to happen. I think that there's only one.
It would be cool if it did, but I don't know if it's going to fit in there.
No, there's so much to fit into the book, and that would have to be a chapter in itself.
Yeah.
Definitely a chapter in itself. All right. Time to move on to the audio question of the week.
Great. Yeah. First, we just want to say thank you for sending in such great podcast questions, audio questions. They were great. The one that I chose comes to us from Heros Andros from Dragonmount.com from the forums. And so here it is.
I just completed reading Crossroads of Twilight, and I noticed something. In Jurador, when Matt took Tuan and Seleucia shopping, he saw all those people coming out of the town, but apparently Tuan and Seleucia didn't see it. Now, was that something similar to what happened with Perrin in Still Harbor with the ghosts, or does it have something to do with the memories that he got from the stone doorways? Just something I've been wondering about.
This is kind of funny, because I actually have always thought that it was the ghosts. It seems to be tied in the same to me, because they seem to disappear like that. They're there, they're doing something, next thing you know, they're gone. They're talking in mid-sentence, and they're just gone. It actually never crossed my mind anything to do with Matt's memories until I heard this question. So it's definitely interesting. I'm sure everybody kind of has a different take on it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like you said, when I originally read it, I think, like, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, why doesn't anyone else see it? You know what I mean?
But yeah.
There's just so much in all the books that it was just a thought that crossed by my mind. I actually thought that maybe when there were other ghosts, you know, that maybe someone saw one and another person didn't. But then when I go back and, you know, go back to all those different situations, I notice that whenever there's a ghost, everyone sees it. But this is the only case where Matt is the only person to see it. So
true.
Maybe it does have to do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's hopefully it'll be explained in the final book.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I hope so.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who could get some theories going and different information for us. Maybe someone can come up with some good evidence one way or the other.
Anyone that does, you know, I'll make a post tonight about the podcast forums. If anyone has any thoughts about it, just go there, share your thoughts. I'll put mine, Carrie will put hers. As far as what exactly was it that Matt saw?
Yeah.
How does it have to do with him? If you haven't guessed by now, Matt is the character of the week, as we mentioned last week. So we just have a couple things that we're going to discuss a little bit. Carrie, what's the first thing that we're going to discuss?
We're going to discuss Matt's role as a hero in the books. And that's... I don't even know where to begin. I guess... I don't know. What would you say? He's a reluctant hero? He's not.
He doesn't
see himself as the hero type. That's for sure.
He doesn't see himself as the hero type. And the way the books are written too, we're not supposed to think he's the hero type. But the irony is, everyone in the books thinks he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone in the books sees that. You know, that he's a good leader. He's a hero. I'm not so sure if he would have been a good hero if, you know, all the events that happened to him didn't happen to him.
Yes. Exactly. But I still think that his sense of, you know, if he makes a promise, no matter what, no matter how everyone says he's a scoundrel or anything like that, if he says something, he's going to keep his word. And although that doesn't make anybody a hero, but when you have to do certain things that nobody else would ever do just to keep your word, it kind of, if those situations arose, would still put him in that position, I think. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. The most, a lot of times in books when there's a secondary hero like Matt, a lot of times they're reluctant to be the hero, but then they end up being the one that saves the day. So you never know. I mean, what I think in the last book, how I imagine it is, you know, the last battle, I imagine seeing Rand, Matt, and Perrin, you know, all standing next together. I could be way off. I could be right on the mark, but that's what I see. You know, so I see Matt really is the one that plans the whole final battle. You know?
Yeah, I see that too. But I kind of always thought that it would be, like, he would be planning and leading, like, everybody, mm-hmm. including the, like, all the Aes Sedai, any forces at all. But I kind of just always figured that he would be doing that. I'm not really sure what Perrin would be doing, and Rand would kind of be fighting the dark and one,
like,
dark one, or
like he usually does
something, you know. But definitely I see Matt as being the main figure leading all the rest of the people that'll be fighting mm-hmm. the battle. Or how, I'm not sure how it's really going to go. It's kind of, you have this little thing in your head and it's probably going to be way off by the time we start reading it, but that's good.
Who knows? Who knows? And I think part of what's going to determine that, obviously, is you know, how Matt being Tuan's husband now, how it affects where he's going to be and how things are going to go. We touched on it a little bit as far as, you know, is Rand going to bow to Tuan? I don't think he would have if Matt wasn't Tuan's husband.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot of things that because of their marriage, even though, you know, it's kind of odd. A lot of things are going to happen. I'm not exactly sure what, but they probably wouldn't have a chance of happening if it wasn't for the two of them being together. I'm sure they'll be able to do things maybe a little more peacefully and make some truces.
Hopefully without anyone, and hopefully with without anyone getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think that between Rand and Tuan, they're both such strong characters that it's going to take someone else to bring them together, and I think that's probably how it's going to end up.
Yeah.
You know, that Matt's going to, I don't know if he's going to take Rand aside and say, hey, listen, you know, we really got to do this, or Fran's just going to do it. I definitely think he's going to kneel to her, though. I'm going to go on record as saying,
well,
that's,
I definitely
want
to read about it because I just think that would be great for it. I love Rand, but he has a big head, and I think that would just, I don't know, maybe make him seem a little bit more down on everyone else's plane a little bit. But
yeah, that's a great way to put it. A great way to put it.
But I don't know if I'd want to see Tuan's reaction to him kneeling to her, because that would just make her head too big. But
maybe there'll be like a little, maybe a little bit. Yeah, maybe even a little struggle. Maybe he's going to refuse to do it first. You never know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Definitely, whatever mm-hmm. ends up happening.
So, yeah. I think what our next, next week on our week 3 podcast, the person that we're going to use as our character of the week, we'll try and get forum discussions and emails about, Egwene. That's who we're going to use as our character of the week for week 3. So,
yes.
Send along all those great questions that we got last week, again, to podcast at dragonmount.com. You can just, I'm sure a lot of people have recording programs. Just record your own voice and we'll play it just as we did this week.
Yeah, definitely. It's it was great getting all those, and we have a lot of brilliant people who think up some great stuff. So
there were a lot of really great questions that we got this week. There was a lot of questions that not even I knew the answer to, and I'd probably have to look up. So thanks to everyone who sent them in.
Yeah.
I want to go over also the email information for us. It's podcast@dragonmount.com if you have any questions. Our website address, we also have a website address now. It's dragonmount.com/podcast. We also have forums on that website also.
Yeah, and thank you very much for all the support. And we love hearing any feedback. So anything that you have to say, we'd love to hear it about the show.
Okay. Okay, and this is Jason, and we'll see you next week.
And this is Carrie. Take care.